listening to Female VC Lab, a podcast that showcases the journeys of female investors. My name is Barbara Bickham, and I am an award-winning CTO and VC that teaches companies and investors about emerging technology. I am sitting down with female VCs and investors to talk about their funds, how they invest, and how they make an impact. Welcome to the Female VC Lab podcast. I have Nayada here. Nayada, give me your name, give me your title, and give me the name of your foundation.
Barbara, what a pleasure to be talking to you today. Thank you so much. I am Nayada Kumbuli, the Vice President and Head of Investments for Visa Foundation, based in DC, and very excited for this conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on to the podcast. It's always an honor to have the Visa Foundation come here. So thank you. What inspired you to become a venture capitalist or an investor?
Thank you, Barbara. That's a great question. I don't know if my name gives it away, but I was born and raised in Albania, indeed, where at the time Albania was a communist country. And that's where I witnessed firsthand the limitations of an economic system that truly suppressed individual initiative and innovation. At the time, resources were scarce, entrepreneurship was highly discouraged, and people's destinies were very much predetermined by the state. That said, I also saw and I cherish the power of community, the deep sense of social responsibility, and the importance of ensuring that no one was left behind. Then I moved to Singapore and the US for schooling, and that's where I encountered capitalism. And of course, I was struck by its dynamism, the way creativity is rewarded, risk-taking, ambitions. But at the same time, I also recognize that there are pitfalls, inequality, absolutely, short-term thinking, sometimes lack of concern for the broader social good or for the community. And so what my background taught me at the time when I was coming out of college and thinking about my career choices was that it will take creative solutions to really shape a prosperous society, and the importance of capital to be used in a way that doesn't only generate attractive financial returns for investors, but also social impact that can be measurable and long-term. So that's what inspired me to become an impact investor. When I entered the workforce at the time, impact investing was not even coined as right. a term. And certainly VC investing was new. And so for me, that marrying impact investing with VC investing was critical. It aligns with the hope and the opportunity of empowering individuals to solve big problems and create values, but also ensure that what we're doing and the solutions that we're bringing as founders, as VC investors, are creating a broader social good. Broadly speaking, I have always, and my team has heard this from me as well, I believe in this model of capitalism that encourages entrepreneurial spirit and innovation, but does so with conscious and social awareness. So I'm hoping that through the work that I've done at Visa Foundation, not just as part of our VC investing allocations, but through our investments and grant making, we are committed to making a positive impact and ensuring that the benefits of innovation and investments are shared more widely.
What is your thesis and kind of the motivation around your thesis there at the Visa Foundation?
I would say it's relatively simple. We are focused on small businesses and entrepreneurs and ensuring that these small businesses and entrepreneurs have access to capital, digital tools, and financial skills to grow and thrive. And the reason behind that is because small businesses, as we all know, globally represent 90% of all companies, account for nearly 70% of both jobs and GDP worldwide. And with such a large footprint, they're an integral part of the global economy and the local economy as well. So our strategy takes a holistic approach of providing small businesses, whether they are nano micro entrepreneurs operating in rural Nigeria to high growth tech startups operating in India. We're equipping these small businesses with access to critical skills, capital through our grants and investment channels, basically. And I can share more in terms of what has been our thesis in action.
Great. That'd be of interest. Well, yeah, great. We'll touch on that in a moment. So what are you currently reading or learning or listening to these days?
I have two little boys.
You may be listening.
A lot of children's books.
Oh, okay, fair. You may be listening as well at some point.
Exactly. And I'm listening a lot. But first, I would say, first and foremost, I'm always listening to my team members who bring an incredibly diverse background and our partners, the fund managers and the nonprofit leaders that are supporting the small business owners and the startup founders that are driving economic growth in their communities. I'm constantly listening to their vision, their passion, the unique insights that they bring about the problems that they're solving. I pay close attention to how they articulate their mission, the problems that they're trying to solve, how they're adapting to market changes. Because I believe that great founders are both driven and very agile, and they have to be very agile in the current market. Yeah. Beyond that, I'm also constantly tuning into market signals and trends. We are living in a very dynamic world. We have to listen to our customers. Mm-hmm. I listen to our advisors and industry experts. Listening to data, it's critical, as we know. The numbers tell the truth. So what the numbers are telling, what the metrics are telling as it relates to anywhere from product market fit to what asset classes we should be investing in, how should we be pivoting our investment strategy. As I shared earlier, I oversee the investment activity on behalf of the endowment of the foundation. We don't only invest in VC funds and startup entrepreneurs, we invest across asset classes. And as we know, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of volatility in public equities. And so we're constantly looking at how do we diversify our exposure so that we are reducing volatility and reducing the impact that it can have in the end on the endowment, knowing that is the core of our capital that we also use for our grant making. And then finally, I also listened to several podcasts. One that I really love and it marries my passion for investments and business, but also history a little bit, is the Acquired podcast. They're more business history books. Their episodes are really long. They're about anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, but they're very interesting. They position the story that they're telling is incredibly thoughtful and smart in the way that they show how certain businesses have gone through their growth evolution, how they've pivoted, what their leaders have done. And especially for us that we invest across markets, anywhere in emerging markets as well as in developed markets, hearing what has worked and what hasn't worked and how others have pivoted helps us a lot to think about refining our strategy and marrying that with what I was sharing earlier about my thesis and my personal goal of always listening to my team, my partners, experts, sometimes critics, and creating a diverse perspective on how I should make investment decisions as a head of investments at Visa Foundation.
Thank you for that. This is the bonus question. Everyone gets it. In 2 years, how do you see venture capital or investing having changed or evolved?
Barbara, I'll give you the hopeful answer.
Whatever answer you like, but that's good.
Yes, the glass half full approach person.
Wonderful.
So I expect venture capital to continue evolving across several dimensions. First, and it's not a surprise to anyone listening to the podcast, is that there will be an increased focus on AI and deep tech.
Absolutely.
Obviously, funding will continue to concentrate even more on frontier technologies as both startups and investors race to capture value from rapid advancements in these areas. And then this focus will shape not just the types of companies that are funded, but also the skills that are needed and the expertise for the VC firms that are investing in these founders and these innovative technologies. The second, and this one I'm particularly excited about, is that there will be more discipline in investment practices. We've all experienced the exuberance of the recent years and then the subsequent market corrections. I anticipate a more disciplined approach to valuations, capital allocations, and business fundamentals. At Visa Foundations, we're laser focused on our due diligence. We want to ensure that we're investing in funds, predominantly women-led funds like Arua Capital, like Beacon Fund, like TMV in the US. And all of these funds, they have emphasized their investment strategy in companies that have sustainable growth, clear paths to unit economics, and clear paths to profitability. So I'm hoping that others will follow suit and have a more disciplined investment practice. The third, I'm very excited about, I foresee greater investments in emerging markets. There is incredible dynamism and opportunities in Africa and Latin America. We've invested in incredible funds like TLCom, like SeedStars. I believe many LPs will be increasingly looking beyond Silicon Valley for innovative founders and innovative founders that have a global mindset. And so the innovation that happens maybe in India can be also replicated in the US versus what has happened in the past the other way around. And lastly, I would say certainly an emphasis on responsible investing and impact investing. There will be we see, not just because we're an impact investors, but founders we're seeing a new generation of founders who want to create a society that is more inclusive and can create a more prosperous local economy. And at the same time, we're seeing many LPs, some of them being family offices, high net worth individuals, also some institutional investors that are understanding that investing with an impact lens is not just good from a social impact perspective, but also from a business perspective. And so you can have both really attractive financial returns as well as a social impact generation capability when you're investing in founders that care about the world that we're living in.
Yes, because it's a big world, clearly.
Indeed.
Are there any resources or anything you'd like to share that we can put in the show notes where people could point to and go, hey, the Visa Foundation is doing these great things?
Yeah. So we absolutely, on the website, there is more resources as it relates to the work that we've done. There is an impact report or an annual report, I would say, that highlights our strategy in more details, the type of organizations, both on the investments as well as on the grant side that we have supported. And then obviously we also have a team of experts that can support both fund managers as well as nonprofit organizations that are doing this work and point them in the right directions as it relates to the tools, resources that maybe founders or organizations need to grow. And the best way to get in touch with us is through our website.
Awesome.
So I would point you first at our website and then would love to continue the conversation, knowing that tailored answers are what's needed these days.
What most people need. So that was going to be my next question. How do people contact you?
Barbara, absolutely through our website. Our team actually monitors our inbox daily. So we receive messages, we review them, and we find ways to respond to most folks. We are a small team, small but mighty team, but we hope to get back to those inquiries as fast as we can.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, the Visa Foundation, for being my guest on the Female VC Lab podcast.
Barbara, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. This episode is brought to you by Trailin' Ventures. Find and invest in the next billion-dollar emerging tech company. Sign up for our exclusive content at https://trailin.com to find out more. Find us on Apple, on Spotify, and on Google Podcasts. Thank you for listening.